Hello, everybody. Welcome to All Talk All Ashes, the podcast that, you guessed it, covers all things Ashes of Creation related. My name is Ferenczi, Variety MMO Gamer, and I'm joined by my brother Subjective.
Hello again. Avid MMO Gamer here.
And if you're not familiar with the podcast, we break down a lot of information. We talk MMOs, we talk Ashes, we kind of just, you know, talk about all our experiences with MMOs and just hopefully kind of get people, you know, excited for Ashes and just talk about the various parts of the game. And if you enjoy that, again, please consider liking, subscribing on YouTube. It really does make a difference. Comment. We'd love to hear what you have to say. Give us ideas for future videos. You can also join us in Discord as well. The link there should be in the description. Again, we would love to have you. But today we are talking loot drops in Ashes and just kind of like MMOs in general. If you're not familiar, Ashes, like most MMOs, uses kind of like a loot table system for drops, kind of meaning that, you know, there's different percentage chances and different item rarities can drop as well. Ashes also is a little bit different than maybe your traditional MMO in that, like, there's a smaller chance for kind of completed gear items, like kind of what you would consider typical loot, like a helmet, a sword, a staff, to be dropped. And instead, you're much more likely to receive crafting materials, which could then hopefully be turned into maybe something that you could craft, like a helmet or a sword. And you can also drop unique recipes, which again, also for the crafting system as well. And again, very similar to other MMOs and RPGs, Ashes use a tiered looting system. So there's kind of like the lower items, which is like poor, you know, uncommon, and then they can go all the way up to artifact. I think there's 7 or 8 different tiers, so quite a few. So again, that's kind of like the loot system, just kind of broken down pretty simply. There's some other elements of it as well we're going to dig into. But we're just going to start off with kind of like a general question here. You know, like what do you think makes for a good loot drop system in an MMO, or just I guess any game for that matter? What do you think, Sub?
The small chance of getting that big drop, in my opinion. Like my biggest thing ever that I can remember almost 20 years later was in Classic WoW. I'm going to try to explain this the best I can, but a lot of people who didn't play WoW might not know these things. But in Classic WoW, after a certain level, mobs would have a chance to drop a bind on equip, which means it was tradable, item, epic item, which is, you know, which was the best, which was kind of the best thing you could get. And I was on a newer server, and I was just killing mobs at like level 50 plus in Western Plague Lands, and one of the mobs dropped a bind on equip crawl blade. And back in Vanilla WoW, this was a really good one-handed sword that rogues loved. This was a very rare bind on equip drop. And I still remember it to this day because I was one. That drop alone, a guild pooled their money to buy it off me for like 600 gold. And I was like the first person on that server to have an epic mount. So that, like, that dopamine hit. And people accuse me of gold buying because I had an epic mount so early. I just got really lucky with a drop. And I thought it was funny. And it was just that one unique moment that just, like, lives with me today.
Okay, so you're kind of, like, a fan of, like, the, like, rarity and, like, getting those kind of rare chance loot items, I guess, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's fun. It's always a fun chance to have a small chance. Like, I mean, it depends on the, like, I don't like the, I mean, like, in modern WoW, a lot of people just go back and, like, farm old raids for a chance at a 1% drop on a mount. I don't like doing that. I just feel like just being out in the world, naturally playing and getting these rare drops is more fun to me than, say, farming an old raid to get a 1% drop.
Okay, I mean, that makes sense. Yeah, I definitely can kind of get that. I'm more of like, I guess I differ a little bit. I know we agree on a lot of things, but I'd rather just get like more consistently useful items, which is kind of, again, part of the reason why I'm really excited for Ashes. I love player economies, player run economies specifically, really just like players taking the lead. So I love the idea that in this game and other games as well, where, you know, Star Wars Galaxies was like this, where, you know, mobs had, you know, really good chance to drop just pretty much about anything, and I felt like they could all be turned into something useful eventually, which is what I'm a big fan of, you know, taking things that, you know, maybe aren't as common or sometimes maybe a little more common, but not like, you know, like the 1%, like the super rare drops. And then just kind of like turning it into something that can be useful, I guess, if that makes sense. I've always kind of disliked the fact that, at least in most MMOs, like your gear and your loot is solely kind of based around, not completely, but like, you know, mostly based around the idea like you have to engage in raids typically, or, you know, maybe farming a certain mob or something like that. Typically it's like raid loot, you know, doing a dungeon, doing a raid. And for someone that doesn't really like raids that much, you know, that's always been kind of a big issue for me. So I think I'm a fan of anything that really opens it up a little bit more, gives you more chances. Again, you know, killing, kind of like you said, in a way, like killing like just random mobs as you're kind of going through the world, like, you know, maybe getting loot and things like that will be a big thing that you can, if you're a crafter, you can turn into, you know, maybe an item. Or if you're not a crafter, maybe you can sell those items to someone who can. And again, you're still getting, you know, gold and things like that in exchange. So yeah, kind of, I guess, kind of a little bit of the opposite for me. I like a little bit more, I guess I just don't like anything that's dependent on just one singular type of like raid or drop or mob in order to get like those cool items that you want.
No, I agree. And if, like I said, if Ashes is like a complete player-run economy, hopefully people who raid in Ashes, right, will be able to trade that stuff also. So this way people who don't want to raid maybe can just...
Exactly.
You know, you can farm, you know, whatever you want, or farm crafting materials and save up enough money to buy a raid thing. Whereas in like most modern MMOs or World of Warcraft, which I played a lot, which is going to be my most referred to game, but you have to do high end raiding to get that item. Yes, they have systems where you can spend gold, and they can, like, it's called GDKP. It's, you know, selling. You basically go into a raid with a bunch of people who know the raid really well, and then they, every time they kill a boss, you bid on the item. So there is a way to get that loot, but it's just, I don't like that system at all. I prefer the way Ashes is doing it, where like you can go out in the world, farm mats, slowly craft your way up, either with your own personal crafting or other people, you trade with other players. Maybe you get a really good drop and someone else has a drop you want and trade. Where in WoW, it's just farm gold, or even buy WoW tokens and sell them for gold and just rinse and repeat really every season.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. I think that is the exciting thing for me in Ashes. And that's why, like, a lot of times I've struggled with, I think, like, the traditional MMO is just, I just... You know, getting stuck doing something that maybe you don't enjoy to get, like, you know, the really good gear that you want. Because, you know, I think, like, everybody wants good gear, right? Maybe some people are more obsessed with it than others. Like, some people will slam raids, or they'll, you know, farm a mob forever to get that, like, one item they want. But I think just having options is going to be really big. And if, like you said, a player-run economy is going to factor, I think, in massively for, you know, when we're talking about, you know, loot drops. Because it... You know, the two things are closely connected. So, you know, I think I've given the example before, like, hey, you know, and it's going to kind of create these roles within the game. Like, hey, like, you love doing raids, you love doing PvE. Like, you know, and maybe you're not getting those crazy gear drops anymore, you know, from, you know, raids or dungeons. But maybe it's crafting materials. And even if you're not a crafter, you can, like, so you can kind of, we could sell those now to somebody and get the gold, and from using that gold, you can get the items that you want to buy from, like, a master crafter, you know, a blacksmith, somebody who can, like, make the crazy sword, who has a crazy recipe that you found. And so there's going to be all this opportunity to get, like, loot in a way that I think is more, a lot more interesting than just kind of being forced to rely on, like, a raid, or, like, you know, different, like you said, you know, gold bidding, like an auction type system. You know, there's going to be a lot more ways, hopefully, that, you know, players can kind of engage in the game they want, but still kind of get those loot drop items, you know, in different ways, like the good items, without having to rely on, you know, just spamming raids and doing all that.
Yeah. Or just, you know, maybe you're just a crafter and you just craft a ton and make enough money to buy the best gear without really doing any PvE or PvP or anything. Like, that's one of the benefits of a full player run economy. Whereas, you know, you can, if you can trade almost everything, then, you know, you can get that access to, like I said, a raid boss could drop something, like PvEers will do a raid boss and it might drop something, you know, a PvPer wants, but they can sell it, or maybe they could give it to said PvPer for services rendered. Like, I don't know, maybe they want it, maybe they want to hire a guild to defend the castle node, and they'll be like, hey, we'll trade you this raid item for, or raid, whatever, to, you know, help us do defense when the castle node is attacked, because you guys are really good at PvP. It just opens up, like I said, it's like a sandbox, you know? That's where the sandbox part comes in, is like, not only do you have to just trade for other currencies, but you could trade for actual services rendered too.
Yeah, exactly. And I think a good loot drop system in an MMO, and I think Ashes is definitely trending this way, is a system that encourages more interaction. You know, I think if beyond just being in a raid, right, you know, multiple types of interaction, I guess I should say, you know, if in most MMOs, really the main interaction for like a loot drop system is, you know, being in a raid, killing, you know, doing the raid, getting the items. And then there's usually like a system beyond that, whether it's, you know, DKP or whether it's loot council, whatever, which we're going to talk about a little bit here soon. But, you know, it's going to encourage more interaction through with other players, with different parts of the game, I think is really important. You know, it's no longer just like slam raid, get item, hope that you can get item through whatever kind of method is used by your guild or whoever. It's like, oh, like, yeah, I got something that's really cool. Like, let's say I got a recipe, but I'm not a crafter. Like, I don't have this recipe. So, like, I can maybe sell it to somebody and get some gold that way. Or, like, things that are, like, cool to me is, like, you know, maybe I'm a blacksmith and you can give it to me. And then I can make that item for you in exchange for, you know, potentially, you know, giving me that for free, right? So there's all these kind of like cool things and interactions that I think can kind of happen as a result of that, like happen all the time in Star Wars Galaxies. I don't know if I've used this reference before, but my fondest memory, you know, kind of using like the crafting system is, you know, I was a master doctor in Star Wars Galaxies. I was like, I gave out these insane buffs and like people would pay like a lot of good money, and people would like literally line up in a city to get these buffs from you. And I had a great memory of like this guy came up to me and he's like, hey, like I'm a little bit tapped out, but I'm a crafter. Like, and I just made like, you know, 50 speeders. Can I just give you like 20 of these speeders so you can get around instead for the buff? And I was like, yeah, like that's awesome. You know, so it kind of encourages all these different types of ways to like, you know, a good loot drop system can kind of create those encounters. You know, if it was just a raid system and the only way you could get these items was like an auction house or, you know, I don't know, like doing the raid yourself and hoping to get that, then like that doesn't happen. You know, there's all these kind of things. And obviously there was a lot that went into making those buffs too. Like I had to get resources and items and things like that. And so I don't know, anything that for me, a good loot drop system is going to like encourage like any kind of interaction in different ways, I think is what I'm looking for. And I think Ashes is kind of on that track, which makes me really excited for it.
Yeah, and it's also kind of Steven's vision of putting the MMO back in MMO, I guess, or the MM part in the back of MMO.
Yeah.
Like, back in the day, you knew everyone on your server, you know who, like, it's just one of the, another step towards that. Also, another thing is like, a system that is really open like this is also going to be ripe for scammers, you know, like,
yeah.
Like you said, you know, you would trade a recipe to someone in exchange for them giving you to make the item for you for free, right? You give them the recipe for free, but then they make that item for you for free back. So, I mean, hopefully there are ways to deal with that in the game. But again, if the game has traditional server structures like old MMOs, then people would just end up building a bad reputation of, like, you know, this guy was a scammer, right? So, you, like, I mean, I guess they could make another character, but, like, is it really worth going through all that? At least back in the early WoW days, people knew who the ninja looters were because the whole server would call them out in the trade channel, and they would kind of be screwed.
Yeah.
You know? So
I definitely agree, for sure. Sorry, I was just going to add in, like, because, and that is part of it. Like, I think if we're going for, like, a real, like, tradition, like old school MMO, like those social systems like are part of the game. Like, yeah, you're gonna get scammed sometimes, but that's the importance of, like, you know, making friends, you know, if you interact with like a blacksmith who's really cool, like, you know, put him on your friends list, put that person on your friends list so that like, you know, to go back to them. Right. And that to me is like, that's what makes it so cool. Like having like a system, you know, good loot drop system and having all these different types of interactions. Like, yeah, there's probably going to be some bad ones that you're going to have. And I don't think Steven's opposed to that either. You know, I think they were talking about in the last developer update, like, hey, what if like a mayor buys their way into, you know, the economic nodes, you can kind of like auction on them. What if a mayor from another node tries to, you know, get into like buy their way into a different node as mayor to try to like, you know, help, you know, their original node that they came from. And he was like, well, that's just good strategy to me. So I think we're definitely going to get those types of things. Now, obviously, I don't think he'll be cool with like exploits and, you know, things like that and abusing bugs. But I think like anything like where, you know, hey, you get scammed. But now, you know, like, all right, now I'm never going to trade with that person again. And now, you know, it's kind of about building up like that social system. Like, all right, if I find a cool blacksmith, if I find somebody that's really good at like animal husbandry that does like, you know, makes, you know, breeds good mounts, then like I'm going to like go back to them. And to me, that's like the fun part, like getting to kind of know people and getting to interact people and kind of know like, hey, this person's cool, this person's not. So that's my take on it. But I know some people, you know, getting scammed isn't fun. And I can definitely understand that too.
No, I agree with you. Like, I think there's less scammers out like in an in-game MMO than like most games. Like there are going to be some, right? Like ninja looters and stuff, they always exist.
Yep.
But I think that does add an interesting dynamic, because if like someone pulls a scam like that, it could actually trigger a gigantic node war or yeah, something, which kind of could be fun actually.
Yeah.
Maybe not the ideal scenario, like getting scammed out of like some legendary item or something, right? But like, I mean, if they ended up, you know, if then someone ended up doing that and then their node got obliterated by a bigger node or something, then, you know, that bigger node could end up technically making out better because the scammer decided to, you know, take this legendary recipe and not give the person the item they, or like they said, to trade it for the item crafted for free, right? And then it starts a big node war, and then they, not only do they end up getting the recipe back or something, but they also get all the materials from sieging the node and just making out like bandits. So I do think there are some natural things built into the game to prevent this, like said scenario. And I don't think there has to be actual built-in systems necessarily to prevent scamming. Maybe unless it's just like, if you're trading for, if you want to trade for like a goods or a service, like just have a extra prompt window, like in WoW, it's like are you sure, or something like that. That's about it.
Yeah. And sometimes too, and I'm, you know, I'm big on like having in-game mechanics to prevent, you know, certain things happening, or to just, again, like you said, maybe give that extra layer, right? Adding another like yes checkbox or whatever. But sometimes too, like, you know, game, like the game, like implementing mechanics to prevent certain things can also cause bigger issues. You know, I'll give an example of Escape from Tarkov, where, you know, they, to kind of help combat real money traders, they put a lot of limitation on items where, like, you could only, like, an item was only useful if it was found in raid, which means you actually had to find it in that specific raid. Somebody couldn't, like, go into, like, you couldn't, like, go into your friends, like raid with them, like in the next raid, and like, hey, like I found this, you know, item here, you can have it. You know, it didn't have any value because it wasn't found in raid. But that led to a lot of other issues, like that there was actually more cheaters, because now, like, you know, people, you know, would go in and like hire people to like do loot runs with you, and like they would just, you know, turn on their aimbots and kill everybody because it was just that easier that way, instead of just, you know, having the person go in and kind of just find their loot and then leave. It was better to go and kill the whole server, so like the people that were like wanted to get these found and raid items could get them without like being like, you know, killed. And so, and sometimes it leads to bigger issues too. So I'm okay with like, you know, let's let things play out, see how it goes, you know, try certain things if you are having issues like with loot and trading. And if it doesn't work out, then change it, right? It's okay to like go back, like implement a system and then roll it back if, you know, it doesn't work out. So
yeah,
I don't know. I think like that's just something to think about, like as we're thinking about like, hey, like we're dropping loot. Like, are there going to be limitations for trading items? You know, I know WoW has there's a lot of issues like where, you know, a lot of items in WoW are like bind on pickup, bind on equip. Right. And so that can kind of create some issues because now like there's no other way to get that than, you know.
Well, unless you pay, like I said, you could buy slots on a, right. on a team. Like, I mean, it's still doable, but yeah, I think the biggest issue to prevent scamming is just have like a prompt. Like if you're trading someone something, you know, just have that extra click maybe so you don't accidentally trade something you didn't want to, or they didn't put the item up.
Yeah.
You know, like if you're trading one item for another, but you click okay, but you know, they didn't put the item up and click okay. It's like in WoW, like when you put an item up for trade, you can click okay and it won't turn green to the trade unless you click it specifically. So like if someone else then puts in an item, then you both click it and it turns green and then you both exchange the item. So just like some little thing there just to make sure that trade goes through.
Yeah, definitely. And I feel like this kind of transitions pretty well into I'm gonna like talking about like kind of loot systems for games and MMOs. And I think there's kind of like, so there's, you know, in-game loot systems. You know, there's some games that you know, for example, you know, World of Warcraft has you know, typically in most cases like group loot, right? You know, something drops and like everybody can roll on it or everybody has a chance to get it. And you know, when you think about it, you know, a game like Diablo 4, it's personal loot. So like when a mob gets killed, like you can get a totally different item than me. And it's kind of, so there's kind of like those systems and there's kind of like, I don't know what I would call maybe like third party systems where, you know, you're doing raids. Maybe it's typically like within like a guild system, where, you know, you're doing raids, you're getting loot, from, you know, these raids. And then there's some kind of way to divvy it up, you know, whether it's DKP, which is Dragon Kill Points. I think it came from EverQuest, where you can kind of like earn points by participating in raids and doing other things within the guild. And you kind of spend those points to get items. And then there's like loot councils where it's like, usually like a group of officers who are deciding on who gets what based on need and things like that. You know, there's a ton of different ways. You know, you mentioned DKP words. And so like there's all kind of variations on DKP. And so I don't know, do you have like a preferred type of system, both in terms of the, you know, the game mechanics itself, whether it's like personal loot or it's group loot. And then maybe, I don't know, like as well as kind of like that, like guild system, like that third party system for looting as well.
I don't think personal loot would work too well for a game like Ashes because I think it would just be too much. Like you just put together big groups and then just go farm like tons and tons of mobs and then everyone would get their own loot and that would put a ton of materials in the economy. Now I can see why personal loot works fine for games like Diablo 4, right? Because like maybe you're in a group and it just works better that way for games like that. Like, I mean, even modern WoW kind of has personal loot. And then they kind of dropped it for raids because people didn't really like it. But they have personal loot for, like, smaller size content, just open world content and stuff. But I think Ashes would be better with just, like, the original kind of style WoW, old style WoW of, like, group loot, where it's, like, you kill a mob, everyone sees the same loot, and then, you know, you roll on it, I guess. I just think that works better for the type of game Ashes is.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely agree. You know, I know it works better in certain games for sure, but like even just in general, I'm not a fan of like personal loot. Again, I like anything that kind of encourages some sort of like social interaction. You know, whether it's like, hey, like, you know, I need that, or like, no, I need that. You know, sometimes it's not a good social interaction, but, you know, I think it just makes things a little bit more interesting, a little bit more fun. I definitely agree, like, personal loot, I don't think it would be a good option for Ashes, nor do I think, I mean, it's pretty obvious, it doesn't seem like they're going that route as well. But I think anything that, like, kind of you know, gets people thinking, gets people like talking, you know, because I've never been a huge raid guy, right? I never have like dug into hardcore into like some of the, like what I call like the guild loot systems or like third party loot systems, like DKP and like council loot. But just as a whole, like, I don't know, I've never like council, like it's so subjective, and in terms of like what you like, and it's based on, you know, your guild, because like loot council can be great if everybody is kind of invested. Everybody is like, hey, like we're trying to get like the best loot to the most people. We're trying to make sure like everyone has a chance like to get something good that they need, you know, and DKP can kind of make, it makes sense. Like, you know, in terms of like, hey, like you're participating. All right. You get these kind of like magical points. And you know, now you can spend these based on like what loot comes up. But that also kind of favors people that are obviously getting to play more, and maybe that people are people that like raiding more versus doing other things. So, I'm hoping that with like gold and like player run economies being so prevalent that like maybe we'll get less of that, or maybe it'll just be, I don't know, you know, because everything kind of in theory resorts to crafting. It's going to be more like, hey, like we just got a really good, you know, weaponsmith recipe. All right, we have, these are our you know, three weaponsmiths in the guild. We have a master weaponsmith. All right, makes sense just to give it to them. And then hopefully everybody can kind of benefit from that, right? Because then they can make them, you know, weapons for, you know, members in the grade. So hopefully, I don't know, I'm hoping some new systems will kind of come up so we can kind of get away from some of like the traditional. I don't know. You obviously played WoW and you know, been in a lot of guilds and obviously experienced like these systems more. I don't know if you have any thoughts on kind of like quote unquote like the guild loot systems or like third party systems.
I mean, I really don't, like, I have thoughts on all these systems, but I'm not sure if Ashes, I think, I mean, if Ashes goes the route where everything is just rolled on, like, no matter what, then it's just, you know, luck. I mean, it sucks, like, one person could win, like, 15 times, I guess, but that's just how it is, right? But, DKP has severe flaws because back in the early days of WoW, people would just hoard their DKP for weapons and not spend it on anything else. So a lot of loot would either go to waste or just go to people who just were like, I just want that. And then they would have no DKP. So DKP has like severe flaws in the system because it just encourages people, like unless you put, like, unless it's been modified, because I haven't used it in a long time, but unless you modify it, somehow, I just don't see how it would work. I just don't like it. Yeah. And then loot council, I mean, it can work great if you have a good loot council, but then it's also all the horror stories of loot councils just like giving loot to whoever they want and not actually who needs it at the time. Like, I mean, they all have severe flaws and they all have some decent benefits, but I really don't know, like, if Ashes is just going to be a true sandbox MMO, then if you're in a group, that everything that drops should just be rolled on, and yeah, I guess it sucks if you lose a lot and don't roll well, but I don't know, I'm not sure what systems they could really put in place to prevent that, like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, that's a really hard question, because if they just go with it, if they just go with, like, the roll on everything strategy while you're in a group, unless you're soloing, obviously, because you're soloing, that's life, right? I mean, it may seem fair sometimes when you lose like 5 times in a row, but you may also get a time where you win like 10 times in a row. So it's just like, maybe having the server roll numbers for you for loot may be the best option, even though sometimes it does suck. Cause like I said, there's no true good option in this outside of just luck or player run systems, which can be rife with problems of their own.
Yeah, I think that's my hope too. And I think loot and obviously the economy goes hand in hand. And my true hope is that if it truly is a player run economy, and there have been MMOs, I think, that have gone like 75% player run economy, and like just that is enough to, I think, stop, you know, some of these issues kind of taking care of themselves, right? Like if the economy is mostly based on gold, and we're going to actually talk about that here pretty soon. But let's say for the most part, gold is truly like the main currency. That's what like most people's focus are, is then not only does that enable more play styles, like, hey, like I just want to be, I mostly just want to be a crafter. And, you know, if I'm making a bunch of money from crafting, then I can just go ahead and now I can buy some of the best weapons and best gear. Right. That there's nothing stopping me from doing that other than just making sure I have enough money. And even if like you're somebody that doesn't play as much, like, hey, you know, I like to do crafting, artisan stuff. And, you know, maybe occasionally I like to PvP. Right. So maybe it's just a little bit of longer of a grind because you're not on as much to, I don't know, manage your farm or like do your crafting, whatever. And, you know, so like that's hopefully like I truly believe a player run economy, even though it does have flaws, right? It can be open to scamming and like things like that. There can be other exploit, you know, if an exploit happens, then it can cause a lot of issues if it can't get rolled back, or like that gold that was, you know, found or created like from an exploit, right? That can cause issues. But like if it truly is a player run economy and we assume most of those issues are taken care of, then I really feel like okay, so you know you're in a raid and you're not getting a good roll on the item. Well, okay, then you know maybe you're getting other things that you can like crafting materials that you can then go back to your freehold or your apartment or whatever and craft up a bunch of stuff and sell it. And then okay, I'm just gonna go ahead and buy that item off of somebody, you know. But again, that is kind of predicated on the idea that you know every item is tradable, which I was trying to do a little bit of research and I don't think there's gonna be much in the way of limitation. You know, like there was an example given that to Steven that somebody asked him like, hey, like what's to stop, you know, a new friend joining the game? Can I just give them a bunch of stuff? And like Steven said, like, there's nothing stopping you from doing that. So I think Steven kind of has like a pretty open mindset and like, hey, like let people trade, right? Let stuff happen. you know, sometimes that can lead to some issues, you know, but you know, that can also lead to interesting things happening. Like you mentioned, you know, maybe if like, you know, you loot ninja or something and then that causes like a node war to pop up or some guild war like stuff to happen within like the guild, the castle sieges and stuff like that. So who knows? But that's my true hope is that with kind of like a player run economy that a lot of these issues get solved because, you know, as long as you're doing stuff to make money, which in theory, almost everything should, whether it's like you're doing raids, you're getting crafting materials, whether you're selling them or whether you're using them and then selling those goods that you create, whether it's you're really into, you know, doing PvP. So maybe you're helping on caravan runs and getting paid as a percentage or like part of, you know, doing that. Like you get some of the items from, you know, PvPing somebody else's caravan and taking their item, right? So there's a lot of different ways that like, as long as you're getting gold and earning gold, then you should theoretically be able to get access to every item so long as there's no limitations like bind on pickup, bind on equip, things like that.
Yeah, I think the biggest problem with a true open economy is trying to stop real money trading in the game. And so like, I mean, you can't like I said, there's no perfect system. Like we could talk about this for literally forever. And like, I've seen every MMO try like even action RPs like restrict loot completely, no trade in to try to stop it, or just go all in with the launch of Diablo 3 and putting in real money trading from the start, like with the auction house. And it's like, no matter what you do, people are going to just find ways to cheese any system, whether it's like full open loot and people just buy their way, you know, spend real life money to buy gold. So as long as they try to at least tackle that in the game and ban people who actually do it, then I don't really see a problem with the open, you know, roll on everything, full sandbox economy. It's just about trying to stop the people from the real money trading to get an advantage. So
yeah.
And I don't, that's the biggest problem with the full open economy.
No,
at least from Ashes, if they're going to go from a full open economy.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. But I also think, like, I mean, we've seen when we were playing Dragonflight and WoW, like, there's a massive bot problem, too. And that game is definitely a lot more restrictive in terms of, you know, trading and the economy. It's definitely not a player run economy at all. And so, like, you know, and then it leads to things like where, you know, the WoW token. And so, like, you know, you can argue, is that like pay to win in some capacity, right?
And well, yeah, it's, I'll tell you a little bit about the WoW token was kind of introduced because Blizzard just can't, like, I don't think they really want to deal with the whole real money trading thing. Like, they actually, in modern WoW, they actually encourage GDKP runs, which is, you know, you go in to a raid and loot drops and then you bid it up. That's what it means. Gold dragon kill points. You spend gold on it instead. And they actually encourage it in modern WoW. They just banned it in Season of Discovery. But, like you said, if Ashes actually takes actions against bots, you know, obviously they'll never be able to clap all of them. They'll never be able to clap all the real money trades. As long as they can clap at least 80% of them, I think the game should be fine. But the thing is Blizzard really does not put a huge effort into actually, I mean, they know these things go on. They just don't put a huge effort into actually dealing with it. Like, they know, like, when Classic, just go on YouTube, Classic WoW came out, you could see people, like, people made tons of YouTube videos of bots specifically, like, rogues going into, like, Blackrock Depths and just spamming that and pickpocketing all the mobs in there. It took Blizzard a while, but they eventually fixed it, but it was Bot City, and it's just like they didn't really do much about it for a long time, and that's what really hurt the economy. It's like they gotta act on the people, you know, doing these things consistently or it'll be a problem.
Yeah, I definitely agree. And that is, and it, there's kind of a little bit of a connection there. I know we're kind of talking about loot, but obviously loot kind of directly, at least in a, you know, a game like this where, you know, the economy is going to be player run, it's going to be a big factor, you know, there's going to be money involved. Like, that's one thing I hope we never see is you know, like a WoW token version in Ashes, because again, I kind of agree with you. Like, you know, it just in some ways it can encourage, you know, other bad behavior too, or, you know, just the fact that like it's like, like we don't really care what you do, you know, as long as it results in like you giving us money in some way, right? You know what I mean? Like, so I definitely, and that would basically just ruin a player-run economy too. Like, you can't have like people spending real money on gold and then, you know, going out and buying all these player created things, because that's just going to cause big issues, right? And obviously it's not fair, in addition, and it's basically pay to win even more so in a player run economy. So hopefully we never have to deal with that. It'd be I'd be
Well, there's
upset.
always going to be a small, like I said, they'll never be able to catch everyone
Of course.
100%, but like as long as they're actively trying to go after them consistently and not like Blizzard waiting months and months and months to finally crack down on bots. And even then they still have a huge bot problem in Classic WoW. Like they just don't do enough to really crack down on it. And like as long as Ashes is like cracking down on it out of the gate the best they can, right? I think the game will be fine. It's just the inaction for so long in Classic WoW kind of really screwed it up.
Yeah, and yeah, it's tough. I mean, there's, like you said, there's no solution. Like, there's always gonna be people that do things in bad faith, or they're gonna be like, hey, like some people make a living off of, you know, botting and stuff like that. And in some places, you know, I don't blame them, honestly. Like, it's just
Yeah, I
more,
don't blame him.
it's just one of those things. But I think, you know, I wanted to transition, and this is, we've kind of buried the lead a little bit here. So we talked a lot about player-run economy, open economy, you know, gold systems and loot. But a major part of loot drops in Ashes is the glint system. And I'm gonna give a little bit of background here based on some research. So you can get glint off of, I believe, potentially any monster, any mob. And glint is just, a pretty potentially common drop. There's different rarities of it though, right? So it can kind of similar to like a tier system, like there can be different types of rarity to glint. And essentially glint has, it has a few uses, right? So it can be sold, I believe, at kind of like a lesser value, just straight convert into gold. And it can be traded for commodities. So if you kind of watch the caravan PvP, you saw some things with glint. So you could like take glint, turn it into commodities. Let's say, I don't know, maybe it's wool or logs, and then take those commodities and then go in a caravan and go somewhere else and, you know, exchange that for gold. It could also be used for certain services as well. So like they mentioned on, you know, I think Steven had mentioned previously that, you know, it could be used for paying taxes or, you know, doing other certain services as well. So it's kind of interesting. We had a little bit of conversation because I think we were both a little bit uncertain, like, so this is kind of like a secondary currency and like kind of like what's the goal of it? And I'm just curious to kind of get your take on Glint and Ashes.
Well, I just did, since we don't normally have a lot of time to plan podcasts, because you work a lot, I just did a little more digging while you were setting us up for that, and I just found out that right now, Glint is a bound currency, meaning you cannot trade it. So, I just wanted to throw that in there, just in case you didn't see that. Like, we try to do the best we can with this research, but sometimes time is not on our side. But so Glint is bound, meaning it's not tradable. So
correct. And gold is.
Yeah. Gold is tradable. So it seems like gold will be the main currency used for player to player interactions mostly. There may be some areas where maybe, I'm not sure of this, but maybe if you can set up player vendors, you might be able to buy stuff with Glint there. But I don't know if that's true yet. But it seems like Glint is mainly used for trading it in for goods from NPCs. Like, and you can also use it for paying your housing taxes and citizen dues and stuff. So it's a little bit tradable, but it seems like it's restricted because they wanted to have a currency that may lead to kind of better loot. And, like, you know, basically, Glint is kind of like the, oh, you want this recipe, this vendor has it, you buy it with Glint instead of gold. And yeah. The gold is then used for player-to-player stuff, whereas Glint is kind of used for player-to-NPC interaction with possible player-to-player through a vendor in the future. I cannot confirm this, but that would be cool if you could. You can. So, I think it's an interesting idea. I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, it is. Like you said, it's interesting. So it is a bound currency. And so, like, I imagine maybe, like, some of this could be, you know, if Glint has, obviously, Glint can only be used in certain ways. I think gold seems to have a much broader capacity for things that you can use it for. But it could be.
Well, you can convert the Glint to gold. So yes. It's still not useless, even though it's bound. So, like, yeah. If you don't need it, yeah, but.
It's a little bit harder.
It's not as profitable converting it. It's more better to actually, I think, spend it on stuff or and then convert it.
Or if you want more money, you can turn it into a commodity and then take that commodity and then travel far and earn more gold. So like it can be, you know, you can get quite a bit of gold for it, but you have to like work for it and there's more risk for it as well. And it's interesting. I always get a little nervous when we start talking about like secondary currencies or having like kind of multiple currencies. Now there's always like, you know, like bartering, which you could, it's not really a currency, but you could maybe argue that it's like a different type of, you know, way to make transactions. But, you know, having actual secondary currency, because there's always like my in the back of my head, like the fear, like, oh, this is going to be like a mobile game type thing, you know, where it's used essentially to exploit you to get you to spend money. You know, like that's why they have multiple currencies. So they can kind of, you know, get you to pay more money, whether it's for that specific currency or to buy the, you know, the premium currency, which then you can turn into like the secondary currency, which you can quote unquote either earn or you have to pay. Like, so anyways, like long story short, like that's always in the back of my head, but we, you know, we don't seem to have any, you know, pay to win. It is going to be a bound currency as well. So like, that's just something that I think about like in the back of my head. I don't know. I have like a lot of, I guess, mobile game PTSD sitting back there, but yeah. It's interesting because it does, you know, I think it's in some ways it can kind of force additional people to engage in like the different mechanics in the game, right? Like if you truly are just basically focused on gold, if there's only one, you know, currency, then like, let's say you kill a mob, you get like dragon scale plate and then you just sell that, you get the gold, whatever, right? There's an interaction there, obviously, but with Glint, like the fact that it can only be spent, it's useful, but it can only be kind of used in certain ways now forces, all right, do I want to just take the lesser conversion straight glint to gold, which maybe I'm not really netting a lot of value for, or do I want to interact in a new mechanic, a new system in the game, which is like commodities and caravans. So like I can turn it into commodities and now I have to actually go out and risk things and, you know, put things at risk to try to get that really, you know, benefit, like big money now versus maybe like that lower conversion rate. So that's kind of interesting. Like I'm not opposed to that. And that kind of makes sense to me. Cause like in ArcAge, right, when you were doing like these kind of like similar, they weren't quite caravan runs, but you'd have to like carry these trade packs. That was only, I believe, like collected goods. So it was like you had your farm and let's say you got a bunch of wool and you had to make a trade pack that was wool and maybe a couple other items. And then you basically were turning that into gold by going and doing this. So if it is a truly open and player run economy, then like in theory, like you really don't have any, is there a reason to do caravan PVPs? Otherwise, maybe you buy the commodities and you try to go really far with your caravan to make a little bit extra money. I think glint kind of like is a way to, you know, we haven't seen it yet. Like maybe the glint to gold conversion rate just straight up won't be too bad. Or maybe it'll be like, hey, you're really taking a loss. And so it kind of incentivizes players to actually go out and do different things with it, such as, you know, caravans and things like that.
Yeah. And also glint is droppable. So when you, if you get ganked out in the wild, you can drop your glint.
Yeah. So PvP.
So you know, we got to kind of weigh the pros and cons of having a, like a bound currency. So if glint is truly untradeable to other players, whether it's like if they have a custom vendor or anything, and it's truly bound to you, unless you get ganked or like you do a initiate a caravan or something with it, right? Then the pros are is like that makes you engage with the world, the massively multiplayer, right? It's like you just can't sit in town all day and get tons of glint, but maybe you can participate in a caravan and get some glint that way. Maybe you don't have to go out and, you know, farm 9,000 wolves to get some glint, right? The pros to me of having a bound currency is like forces people to engage a bit, and then you, like I said, like if mobs don't drop gold, then you get glint and then you can use it to, like I said, initiate caravans or just gank out in the wild. Like, yeah, you might get corruption on you, but you'll steal their glint, still drop some of their glint. If you gank too much, then and you get killed, you'll drop all your glint and maybe even your items. So I think it's kind of a cool way to create some engagement in the world, having a bound currency, because it does kind of force a little bit of interaction in the world. But I feel like even if you want to just do tons and tons of crafting, like you might not have to deal with glint too much.
Yeah.
You might have to deal with it a little bit, but maybe not as much as say PvPers or raiders or just people just grinding in the world.
Yeah. It might just be for like, if you're a crafter, like, I got to glint to pay the taxes on my freehold or, you know, whatever.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Like, obviously a lot of things will change with glint over the course of alpha and beta, so it's like we really have to, like, again, this is a thing, it's a cool idea in theory, and we really got to see how it plays out, because like glint is kind of like the backbone for kind of like commodities. Like we don't know the full depths of everything, but it's like you use glint to buy crafting recipes or initiate a caravan where you can turn that, instead of converting that glint into straight gold, which you might want to do for safety reasons because you don't want to do PvP, right? It's not as much value, but if you initiate a caravan with a bunch of people, you get significantly more gold for doing the caravan by spending your glint on a caravan PvP mission or something. So I think it has some value of having a bound currency. So this way, maybe people who just hoard gold don't have all the benefits in the game.
Yeah.
But again, I really got to see how it plays out over time, because I don't know of any other MMO that has done a system like this, but there might have been, but I'm definitely interested to try it.
Yeah, I know like different obviously different MMOs have had different like currency types or like similar items. Like Arcage had I think they had a few different things, but like the one that started to wear on me and kind of pull me away from Arcage was like there was this like weapon token system. I think they were called like Hazla weapons, and the only way you could get them was by going out to this one area. This was at the beginning of launch. I'm sure it changed since, but you had to get these specific tokens to get the specific items. So you had to kill mobs, and there was a chance that nothing would drop, a pretty good chance, and then there was a chance that a certain type of token would drop. And so like if you wanted like a specific like two-hander weapon, that you had to get this specific amount of these Hazla tokens, and it was the worst thing ever. It was like the most grindy thing, and I that's ended up why I ended up stopped playing, because they were the best weapons you could get at the time, I believe. And so it was like grind, and just to get these. So I don't think Glint is that. I think it's a lot more widespread. And I almost wonder if Atug kind of acts as maybe like a safety net too, if in terms of like, because you could potentially get scammed out of your gold, or, different things can happen as a result of this. Or there could be, obviously people buying gold. And so Glint is kind of like a mechanism that keeps some people in check. Like, well, if I'm, if I got to pay the taxes on my freehold, then I got to make sure I'm still doing stuff to earn Glint. And like, because it's bound, the only way I can get that is by actually going out interacting in the game in some capacity, or things like that, or just the fact that I'm curious, and we don't know this yet, so this is just pure speculation, but if like Glint is, let's say, a consistent drop, let's say you get it fairly consistently in killing mobs or whatever, and it's kind of like acts as like a safety net, like against RNG maybe a little bit. Like if you go out and let's say kill 50 wolves, but you don't get like the pelt that you're looking for to try to sell or using crafting, well, okay, at least I got a bunch of glint, which I can turn into gold in a couple different ways, whether it's like the risky way or the easy way. So at least I've got that, and I can just go buy some pelts from, off the auction house or whatever. So it could be like that too. Like, I don't know. It's interesting. I don't know. Like I said, we always say this like a million times, but it will be kind of one of those things. We'll kind of have to see how it works out. Like, how common is it? How difficult is it to get? How much glint do you need to pay your taxes? Like, do you have to put in a lot of work to do that? Or is it going to be something easier, like, that you can kind of get access to and things like that? So I guess we'll kind of see, but it is kind of interesting. And I definitely think it was worth discussing for sure.
Yeah. One more thing I wanted to say about glint, and it may also replace like trash items. Like in World of Warcraft, if you kill, like if you go out and target farm like wolves for like, I don't know, some silly item like a pelt or something, or you just farm a skin, and you get a lot of gray items that are absolutely useless. So glint could be a replacement for that. So like, yeah, you can still get your, wolf pelt or whatever from killing wolves, but you also get a lot of glint, or some glint, or at least some glint instead of trash items. So it's just not like, oh, now I have to go to a vendor and, sell all these garbage items I don't need.
Yeah, so it's just kind of like a safety net in some ways. Again, we don't know. Maybe glint is going to be rare too. Like, and we just don't know in terms of like the drop rates and things like that. And so, but it could act as like, definitely act in that way. It's like, hey, like at least, if I'm killing mobs and I'm out there doing stuff, like at least I'm always getting glint, which then I can at least turn into something, versus, if I just get bad RNG, no good drops, then I really can't, I'm just wasting time basically. So yeah, definitely something to think about. Did you have anything else you wanted to dig into, or did you want to wrap stuff up?
No, I think at least what I just wanted to say, well, at least from what I remember seeing the videos of Steven doing, glint dropped a lot, but again, like, a lot of things are going to change between now and launch, so it's really, like I said, we're going to have to see how it all plays out. In Alpha 2, it may seem like, oh, you're overwhelmed with glint and all this stuff, but that's because they haven't tuned anything yet, so it's like, we'll get to see how glint and stuff plays out pretty soon with Alpha 2, and then based on feedback, they will make changes, so like, it might, so yeah, I guess it's just a wait and see, and like I said, I'm interested in trying it out, and hopefully it's a cool system that works and might be a way to deal with some of the issues of, real money trading or just, I don't know, any number of issues out there in an MMO.
No, definitely, for sure. Yeah. I'm excited to see it too. I think it'll be fun, and hopefully we'll get our hands on it soon. But yeah, so I guess we're gonna go to wrap things up here. There's a little bit of uncertainty next week. Typically we try to release podcasts on Saturday, sometimes it ends up being Sunday. but I think next weekend we're a little busy, so we may not get a chance to upload. We're not sure yet. We'll see. Stay tuned on if follow us on Discord, all that, join Discord if you're interested, or just wait and see what happens. but so a little bit of uncertainty there, but we think our next video might be about we're kind of it was this was a viewer suggestion by iNewbie, who's kind of talking about like what Ashes can potentially offer for people who are non-MMO players. So we might have some like speculation as somebody who hasn't like stuck around with an MMO nearly as long as Subjective. Maybe I could ask me questions potentially, and even though I've played a million MMOs, but we'll kind of see. I thought it was a really interesting suggestion too, because I think Ashes offers a lot of things that maybe the traditional MMO gamer could maybe find interesting. So we'll kind of see there. But that's the
Yeah.
plan. So
I just wanted to say one more thing. Like last podcast we uploaded, we were like asking for suggestions, and we kind of realized we already like someone already suggested something. That was like a whoops. So we went back. We wanted to tackle that suggestion for the next podcast. So thanks for that idea. Unfortunately, though, I'm a MMO. Like I'm a big MMO player. Frenzy might be actually an MMO noob compared to me
Oh yeah, for
in
sure.
terms of hours.
For
He's probably
sure.
more of an FPS gamer, but we're also thinking maybe about doing a round table with two other really big MMO gamers that we know. And I don't know. Is that, do you think that is a good topic to do that with them?
It could be. I mean, it could definitely be. I mean, I feel like I would be
Yeah.
the noob in terms of MMOs, because I've played so many MMOs, I just have never like stuck with one. And part of that is because I think I like a lot of the non-traditional stuff in MMOs. I don't like as much of like the raiding and dungeons and stuff like that. So maybe that could be something we could dig into. We'll see.
Yeah, and they love that stuff, so like so it may be interesting, but I don't know. I mean, I kind of want to do a podcast with them about the general MMOs in general, so but
Yeah.
I do think that is a good question, and yeah,
I agree.
so I'm interested in talking about it.
I definitely think it would be cool, because I really truly believe Ashes has the potential to be like a really far-reaching MMO, depending on like what you're interested in. It may not be appealing to some people, right? There's certain things, like maybe it's a little bit more hardcore, maybe it's a little more challenging, so maybe it won't. But I think a lot of people like myself, who maybe aren't the 20-year WoW veteran, that are really that gets me interested in the game for sure. So I guess we'll see how it all plays out. But yeah, so look forward to that. Again, a little bit uncertain, may or may not be a video or a podcast next week. We'll see. If not, it should be the week after that without any issue. Again, we are of course available on YouTube if you want to watch slash listen. Really, it's you're just listening. And if you are on YouTube, again, subscribe, like, comment. We really appreciate it. Again, as you can see, like if you comment, please comment. Like if you have suggestions, we would love to hear what you have to say. And if you have a cool idea, we'd love to talk about it. I always think it's way more fun to kind of get into like what the community is interested in versus just what we're interested in. So if you have suggestions about the podcast, the format, or topic ideas, please let us know. Join Discord as well if you wanted to kind of dig into the discussion a little bit. We would love to have you there. Leave us a review on your podcast service of choice. If you're interested, we would love to have your review and tell us how we're doing. Again, we're available on pretty much all major podcast platforms. And yeah, that's going to wrap it up for today. Appreciate you all joining us, and we will see you next time.
See you next time.